This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Friday, everyone, and welcome to Spouting Off. I am your happy and grateful host, Karen Cataline. First off, I just want to give you a little tease because I've been away for a couple of weeks. Thanks to Chuck and Julie for filling in for me 2 weeks ago, and then we did have a repeat show. And for those of you who did not hear Spouting Off, the New Hampshire edition on WSMN, either Tuesday or Thursday, I'll tell you why I've been away. And that'll have to wait until the next segment, because right now, you know, we got to change things up sometimes. So we're going to be right out of the gate with our very first guest. And then we'll have a guest at the bottom of the hour as well to talk about. It's not like there is a shortage of things to talk about. Right now, however, joining me is Dr. Bruce L. Hartman. He's an author and a Christian advisor. Prior to entering the ministry, he was a Fortune 500 CFO, and then he graduated in 2013 with a Master of Divinity from Drew University Theology School, earning a Daniel P. Kidder Award for Excellence in Pastoral Care. Then he received a doctorate from Drew in May of 2008. I see that you are terribly overqualified, but we are very glad to have you, Bruce, on Spouting Off. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me today, Karen.
Well, it's great to have you. And I've seen your little blurbs from time to time about a variety of issues. I know that you have a new book out called Spend a Year with Jesus, An Inspirational Journey of Finding Jesus and Faith. I don't always do a whole lot of that sort of thing, being a member of the Jewish people. But that doesn't matter, because Jews and Christians, I hope people recognize, are on the same side of things right now, being singled out by the hard left for, frankly, discrimination and persecution. But the blurb that I saw had to do with this preposterous kind of banning and censoring of things that are 30, 40, 50, 90 years old, and look at how the people are buying into it. What's this all about, banning Speedy Gonzalez and Pepe Le Pew and Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head? I understand you have some thoughts about that, Dr. Bruce Hartman.
So let's take Speedy Gonzalez. There isn't a chance that he's been on TV in 10 years. I mean, I think you noted that.
Yeah.
So what is this all about? Well, a lot of it is about power. It's about gaining power, and it's about creating a sense of relevancy on really unimportant things. This is more about somebody getting power from cursing the darkness instead of lighting a candle. And, you know, that's what's troubling here, is we have a song, the number one song in America this year. I'm not going to give you the lyrics because they're really offensive. It's called WAP, W-A-P. I'm sure most of your listeners have heard about the song. I can't even mention the words to you on this show because they're that offensive. But we will take the time, the energy, the emotional energy, to talk about Speedy Gonzalez, who hasn't been on TV in 40 or 50 years. So this isn't really about protecting people's ears or not offending people, because WAP offends a lot of people. Nobody's standing up for women as it relates to that song. Mm-hmm. This is about power. This is about the extreme left gaining power and trying to tell us what to think and how to think. And I would like to see them, instead of going to Rochester, New York, and throwing wine in some woman's face at a restaurant and calling her a racist, I'd like to see them in the south side of Chicago working next to people that are trying to save those young men's lives. I'd like to see them in Baltimore working with Ed Reed and his 100-man organization and helping educate people that don't have the education they need to be successful in life. These people that are talking about Speedy Gonzales, they're about lighting, they're about cursing the darkness, not about lighting the candle. And we as a country have to be very careful because this is a very, very dangerous place to go.
Oh, and we're in a dangerous time on so many levels. Everything that they're doing is in line with socialist communist tactics. If you don't control the flow of information, you cannot create the kind of authoritarian regime that they're out to do. Sadly, there's still a lot of people who are in denial about that. I wanted to ask you, Bruce, isn't it also, what do you think about this? It's also about canceling America and canceling America's history and holding it to some kind of preposterous and stupid standard for the same reason that they tear down statues. They don't have any love for America or anything that America stands for, especially since it stands for free will and individual freedom.
Yeah, and when so your analogy to communism, socialism is very accurate because how you accomplish what they accomplish behind the Iron Curtain is exactly what you just said. And that's why I'm so concerned about this. And they always start out small, and as they get away with it, they go to bigger things. And that's exactly what happened in Poland, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia. And they start convincing people this is how you have to think. What they don't recognize is that people will not stop thinking. They will only become silent. That's what happened in the
They don't
Eastern
care
Europe.
About that. They want to silence people. They don't care if you think something as long as you know you have no right to say it in public or to express yourself. And what worries me most, Bruce, is that there are so many people that have had the luxury of liberty, or at least some semblance of it, that they have no understanding of the speeding train of socialism and communism and authoritarianism. They don't have a clue. Even relatively smart people, younger than us, don't.
Karen, you're right. It is shocking at how many really intelligent people that I talk to that don't understand what's going on. And it's certainly something, let's take Aunt Jemima. What the American press hasn't heard about Aunt Jemima is that the family is really upset that she got canceled. She was a real woman. She was the very first female corporate spokesperson in America in the late 19th century. Her family's proud of that. She was also the very first black corporate spokesman. Her family is proud of that. But now she's been wiped off the face of the map. And that's what has her family upset.
They're outraged on her behalf when she's not outraged or her family isn't. How curious is that? They're going to be outraged even though. So obviously this is a fraud, is it not? This is not based in any kind of reality at all.
No, it's about power.
Yep.
Because if this wasn't about.
Well, and it's also a tactic, isn't it? It's a tactic.
It is a tactic.
Yeah.
Isn't getting canceled.
I'm losing you.
Without knowing those words.
Bruce,
there's nothing.
Can you go near
offensive.
A window? Can you step near a window? You're going in and out on the telephone there. Could you back up a little and say that again?
I'm
we want to get every word.
Well, so if you look at WAP, the song WAP. Mm-hmm. And if you're not personally offended by that, but you are by Speedy Gonzales, you're a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And because it's defamation to all women that those words exist.
Yeah, and there's something else. What else is lost is the notion that even things about which you are offended, and this is something that the left used to be the champion of, but they've made a flip-flop on absolutely everything that they used to hold dear, it used to be, and it's reasonable, that you protect your own freedom of speech by protecting the speech of others who say things you don't like. And that is completely lost on them today. It's as if they've never heard it. Maybe they never did. I don't know.
Well, it's also maybe they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frightening. This is one of the primary principles of America, right there, freedom of expression.
But I do have faith in the American people. I do have faith, because I know at least 80% of Americans find what's going on now silly and reprehensible, particularly to their history and taking away their culture. And I think that this is a small majority that's pushing it. But I think we also have to stop pushing back and fighting for the people that are doing positive things and lift them up.
Yeah. You know what, Bruce, you are a Christian pastor, and I always kind of complain about this about my fellow conservatives as well, and that is that among the most conservative and the most, for the lack of a better term, devout Christians, they're so polite and so nice. I mean, I wouldn't say every Christian is any one thing or another, but it worries me that conservatives do not understand the dire situation we are in. You made it very clear, and you were very, very articulate, that they start out small and they just keep going and going and going. And the very notion that this is going to stop if they get away with all of this force and authoritarianism that they are now imposing on Americans, formerly free people, is frightening. There's a reason that, I mean, people's hair ought to be on fire or that righteous indignation. As a pastor, what do you tell people when their hair is on fire? Isn't that sort of a good thing to realize how frightening and scary and deadly authoritarianism has been through history?
Well, and that is a message that we do all have to deliver, and certainly I do as often as I can. And you also have to be as polite as you can in delivering it. But the severity of what's going on has to be pointed out.
So how do you do that and be polite? I mean, maybe it's in my genes and my DNA that being direct and in your face kind of, it's a... probably a good quality to have as a talk show host, but I'm telling you, you know, it's probably good that I am one and I do this because sometimes I say things that people don't want to hear and what have you. Oh, we only have a minute. Wow, that was quick. How do you do that and be polite too? And then we're going to hawk your book.
Well, you can't ever be dishonest in anything that you say if you don't really agree with something. You do need to say that. But I've always found pointing out a person's positives first is a way to build up their receptivity. So it shows that you care about them and that you understand who they are and you're respecting them as a person. But you can never end a conversation without speaking what you really think.
Okay. Tell everybody how you can, how they can get your book.
It's on Amazon. Spend a Year with Jesus. We've gotten a lot of wonderful reviews, and the book is still doing very well, well past its fourth month. So we're very excited, and just go to Amazon.com.
Dr. Bruce L. Hartman, we hope to have you back again soon. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for your time.
Okay,
when we
have a good
come
day.
Back, thank you. When we come back after the break, I'm going to tell you what I've been up to, and I'll have a couple of thoughts before we bring on another guest, Patrick Wood, at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio and K-Star Radio Network. This is Karen Cataline. We'll be right back after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back. Are indeed listening to Spouting Off, third episode of the week. We do Spouting Off wherever I do talk radio, which is a lot of places these days. It's Spouting Off. And that is positive, by the way, because it's saying what's on your mind. No, you don't have to be rude, but you do have to be straightforward and honest, or at least it's a good idea. The have-tos are the domain of the left. And they are full bore into authoritarianism right now, and it ain't stopping anytime soon. We will be using Spouting Off and many of the shows that I do to talk about that. But I wanted to tell you what I've been up to. If you haven't known, I changed my base of operation from northern Colorado into the state of Texas. And I figured, well, if it's good enough for the NRA, it's good enough for me. Actually, and us, my husband and I, we made that decision before I heard that the NRA moved to Texas. And I'm delighted that there is a Texit movement. I don't know how serious it is. I don't know what's going to be done there. But we determined that even though my hometown is Denver, Colorado, I was born and raised there. My parents were natives of Denver, and I went away and came back. Colorado isn't my Colorado anymore because there's a monopoly of power under the Gold Dome. There's a monopoly of power with Jared Polis and all the statewide offices, and they are sparing they're not wasting an ounce of time turning Colorado into California. And someone said to me, well, it may not solve all your problems, but at least you'll be warmer. Because there's this giant snowstorm that is expected in Colorado. And I will continue to be very, very interested in what goes on in Colorado. I have many, many dear friends there. And it's my home state. And we've got to save the country as well as these various states. Beautiful, beautiful state of Colorado. In the meantime, I'm delighted to be a transplant to Texas. I've learned a lot of great history about Texas, including what the Lone Star really means. And I didn't know this, that when in the Spanish War, in the war in which Texas won its independence, there were two stars. And when they decided and they fought for their independence, you may know that the Alamo was the first shot across the bow. And the Texans lost that war, but it was a sign of things to come 10, 12, 14 years later, whatever it is. I'm not the greatest historian in the world. In fact, I didn't even know much about the Alamo till I decided to look it up. But the Lone Star is the symbol of independence and freedom and liberty. And boy, oh boy, you can just feel it. It's palpable here in Texas. And we were talking with Dr. Bruce Hartman about politeness. Texans in general are a very, very polite people. I guess if they ever do lose their temper with you, and I'm not advocating that, you better watch out because they'll kill you with kindness. And we feel a little like foreigners down here, but we've been welcomed marvelously in Texas, and we couldn't be happier to be here and to be a part of the fight for liberty all the way around. In fact, I was given a terrific housewarming the day that we left Colorado, you know, and packed up all of our belongings and drove off into the sunset south. We heard that the announcement that the mask mandate had been lifted, found out later that it was a week later and it couldn't have come too soon. And I'll be talking more about the addiction people have to these masks. I have said from the very beginning that it was conditioning. It was a psyop. It was designed to shut people up, to create obedience, to create conformity. And now people get angry and get scared and nervous and frightened and worried if they take the mask off. So let's see. You can free your boobs by the left, because God forbid you should wear a shirt if you're a woman. I even went to a Free Your Boobs event a couple of years ago, but gosh, if you free your face, well, we can't have that. The ludicrousness of the left, you know, all they deserve more, is mockery. But the arrogance and the insidiousness of this kind of I know better than you and I don't care whether you like it or not, you're going to do as I say, is frightening. Now, when we welcome our guest in about 9 minutes or now, Dr. Patrick Wood, he's not a doctor, but I like having him on often because he can talk on just about anything, and we'll have him a little bit later in the hour. He's going to talk about Joe Biden's speech last night, and I plead ignorance once again. I read after the fact what Joe Biden said, partly because I've been moving and I'm knee-deep in boxes, but also because it's so hard for me to handle the disconnect of people believing that this man is actually president of the United States. I don't think he's in charge. I'm not sure he's in charge of his own life, let alone the country. We're a country that doesn't believe that a politician is in charge, which is why the whole notion of royalty is such an insult to Americans, true Americans. We don't believe human beings are royal or more royal than somebody else. But isn't it interesting the seduction that it is to make stars gods and superiors of other human beings instead of making God God? That is where I agree wholeheartedly with Christians and many, many things we agree on. So the speech, the gist of the speech last night, and we'll talk more about this with Patrick Wood, is why is it is that now we're being told, in fact, wait a second, here is an article, if I have it here, what you can and cannot do. Katie Pavlich had a wonderful article. In first major speech, Biden lectures Americans about what they can and cannot do. Why aren't people's hair on fire about this? Why? Partly because they've been wearing masks for the last year and they've been subjugated. They've been scared half to death and scared into handing over their liberty. Quote, said Joe Biden. See, I don't have to watch because I find out anyway. I hope you don't watch because I don't want them to show that, you know, Biden is getting any sort of ratings at all. My God, he really is sleepy, creepy Joe. You can't even listen to him because he has no energy. But we won't go down that primrose path. Quote, Biden said, I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity and to help, quote, help your family, your neighbors get vaccinated as well. You think he wrote that? If we do our part, if we do this together by the 4th of July, there's a good chance your families and friends will be able to get together in your own backyard. I'm stunned. I'm horrified. Oh, that doesn't mean large events now with lots of people together, but it does mean small groups will be able to get together. Since when in America is it a politician's right or job or constitutional ability to tell you who you can have in your own backyard? No, it is not. They have been conditioning you to believe that a bunch of unelected bureaucrats and fascist Fauci get to tell you what you can do. But there's something much more insidious here, much. They are bribing and blackmailing you that you have to help. Don't forget, it's helping others to get vaccinated. They want to vaccinate the whole damn country. And they said, oh, now we have enough vaccinations for the country. What aren't they telling you? What will they not acknowledge one iota in the public media? It is verboten, and I use that word advisedly, to mention you cannot acknowledge that there are people that will not take this vaccine. There will be people who will refuse. They will be conscientious objectors to this vaccine, but we're not allowed to say so. Why is it necessary for every man, woman, and child to be vaccinated for a virus that is 99.86% non-lethal to almost everyone, and people under 50 are virtually immune? The same people who want to take away your right to defend yourself want to deny your right to be a conscientious objector about the vaccine. We were talking about Christians. Many Christians believe this is the mark of the beast. No wonder the left hates Christians. They hate them. Why? Because Christianity and other faiths, particularly Judeo-Christian philosophy and faith, flies in the face of everything they want to impose on the citizenry, namely their God in their universe and in yours too. Why do they keep leaving out those words? Mandatory, while trying to give the impression that people are clamoring for this vaccine. We know they're not clamoring for this vaccine. We know people who have taken it, but it was voluntary. We know people aren't taking them, and we have, and they will never acknowledge that this vaccine, what are they going to do? Is the vaccine going to make us 99.87%? No, because they've already told us that even with a vaccine, you still have to wear a mask, maybe two, maybe 12, maybe 47. Even with the vaccine, you have to follow a bunch of laws and rules and regulations that the same people who have been lying through their teeth to you are now going to tell you how you can live with the vaccine. Do they know what's really in the vaccine? No, and you don't either. When people lie to you with impunity, they don't suddenly start telling the truth. And they've given us a blueprint, because my show was already taken off the air on YouTube simply for disagreeing with the vaccine, or at least talking the way I'm talking right now. Am I going to stop? No, I'm not going to stop, because if you knuckle under, it only gets worse and worse and worse. What I don't understand is why people believe that suddenly people who've lied to them will suddenly tell the truth. When the evil queen tells you to take a bit of that poison apple, and I'm not saying the vaccine is poison. I don't know what's in it, and neither do you. But you know the evil queen is evil. Are you going to do what she tells you to do? Why do people not use common sense in their personal lives? They do, but when it comes to allegedly famous in the media Washington bureaucrats, they don't. I could go on, but I have a guest, so I have to wrap it up. I will say much more on Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays next week, Tuesday and Thursday next week. I'll also be on the Chuck and Julie Show at 5:30 p.m. Eastern today. Falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus, which means false in one thing, false in everything. I have so much more I could say about that. I could do three monologues on this subject, but I encourage you to keep telling the truth, speak your truth, and we'll get back to this after this. When we come back, we'll have Patrick Wood with us, and we'll talk more about Biden's speech last night. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off here on the Friday edition of Spouting Off at BBS Radio. You can always access the podcast. In fact, this is show number 190. Believe it or not, 190 shows. I love it. Welcome, Patrick, to the show once again. Good to have you.
Thank you, Karen. Good to be with you.
Well, good to be with you, too. So you probably, like me, did not suddenly move out of state. So because I've got boxes up to the rafters here, and I'm still moving, but I read a lot about the Joe Biden speech. I honestly couldn't listen to that voice, but I have an idea of what was said. What's your thought? I'll bet you watched it. What did you think of Joe Biden's address to the nation last night?
I had to read the after effects of it. I couldn't watch it.
I am not alone.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was a big nothing burger, in my opinion. The poor man needs to be retired. I don't know what else to say. It's just, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with politics. You look at the guy, you just feel sorry for him, man. He needs to be somewhere else.
I don't feel sorry for him.
He's
colluded with the Chinese in order to betray America. So,
no, I know. I hear you.
He probably doesn't remember it.
Yeah, but he's a one-man humanitarian crisis right now. Let's put it that way.
You know what I read about it, and it really concerned me. I didn't think it was a nothing burger. Was something, and I want to get your thoughts, Patrick Wood. And that was a lot of this speech was a setup for taking the vaccine. And I was ranting earlier before you came on about how they never allowed to leave their lips the possibility even that somebody would refuse to take the vaccine, because I believe as sure as I'm sitting behind this microphone that they are going to discriminate, they are going to develop vaccine passports, and none of it has to do with the coronavirus. It has to do with monitoring people's obedience quotient, their OQ. And they're going to get other citizens to bully and intimidate people into taking the vaccine, or they can't shop, they can't travel, they can't go anywhere. It's already being rolled out in other states. This is worldwide, one world government, socialism, communism, and it's always incremental, except we're on steroids right now. And it was all a setup. The speech was written in order to say how noble and virtue signaling it is to not only take the vaccine, but to, quote, help others to take it. We've got to get proactive here about being conscientious objectors and nobilizing being a conscientious objector, the way that the left did when they fought against the Vietnam War. Otherwise, we're going to get trampled with this thing. Conservatives are never, ever ahead of the curve. And I apologize for being so verbose. I usually try not to do that with a guest, but I want to give you lots of opportunity to comment on that, because my hair's already on fire about it.
Yes, I agree with you. And this, of course, this program, this whole vaccine program has been afoot for a long time. It was, you know, the whole rollout in the first place, using the military to, you know, deliver the goods, so to speak, to all the places around America. This is an initiative that Big Pharma has had going for a very long time. And what's really interesting is that companies like Moderna, for instance, has started, that's, if you think about the word itself is modern RNA. Moderna has purposely relabeled or recategorized its gene therapy shot as a vaccine. And medically speaking, the definition of a vaccine is not gene therapy. I'm sorry, even the CDC says this very clearly. And
what is gene therapy? I don't have a clue what that is. What is
this is what's so scary. If Moderna has pioneered this area of genetic engineering to create vaccines that will go into a person's body and deliver what's called messenger RNA. That's part of the chain of process where proteins are manufactured in your body. RNA interacts with DNA like a template to create the proteins that your body needs to live. And so this RNA that's embedded in the solution that these quote-unquote vaccines are being, you know, delivered, is actually going to change the way your body produces proteins and the way your body produces, RNA and DNA. And this is extremely dangerous and misleading for the public because they really don't understand that this is not the old-fashioned vaccine where you get a little bit of the vaccine, you know, it's dead usually, and you get a little bit of it, you get a reaction to it, you build some antibodies to it as if you had the disease. This is not the case here.
So what does it do to people, particularly people 70 and over? What I have a friend, forgive me, but you have so much more knowledge about this, and I want to delve into this with your permission. I know a guy, I mean, he's brilliant. He's a rocket scientist, literally. And he could not wait to take the vaccine. He's conservative. He's Christian. Yeah. And because he's scared and he does have pre-existing conditions, he took it. And he was happy to do so. What could it possibly do to the body of someone like that?
Well, it's going to be indiscriminate, but it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It'll do what it does.
It does what it already does. What?
Already there's been a lot of injury from these shots, and they're being reported to the appropriate government database at the CDC that allows for that. And nobody knows yet, because this is completely untested, Karen. There's been no test on it. None of these vaccines have been tested.
So, they were rushed through, and they're smart people who believe vaccines are great. Look at Donald Trump. Not once did he express any reservations. He's taken all the credit, which he deserves, I guess. But every time he got all excited, the vaccine, the vaccine, the vaccine, I thought, well, I know tons of people who are saying they will refuse the vaccine. And I know, as sure as I'm sitting here, that there will be bullying, intimidation, discrimination, and a whole lot more to anyone who refuses these vaccines.
That's absolutely, it's taking place already. All around the world. It's not just an American phenomenon. This is everywhere. They're using the same MO everywhere to force people, and really force them into taking the vaccine. And
absolutely force. And what is American about that? Not a thing.
That's right. And when a country creates a vaccine passport, and says, if you want to live in normal society, you have to have this vaccine passport, which requires you to be vaccinated. And then they say, well, we don't really care if you get vaccinated or not. That's your choice, but you won't be part of society.
Right. And Patrick, let me tell you, before a week ago, when I hailed from the state of Colorado, one of the most famous cases out of Colorado, we followed it for 6 years, was the case of Jack Phillips in the Masterpiece Bakery case. He fought valiantly and continues to fight and be discriminated against for refusing, being a conscientious objector, not to bake a cake, a custom wedding cake, for a gay couple when gay marriage wasn't even legal at the time. And the left screamed bloody murder about discrimination, access, equal access. And now all of a sudden, just like everything else they do, they are guilty of precisely what they hurl accusations of everyone else at. It's mind-boggling. They are planning to discriminate and not give access to people under the guise that you're killing grandma if you are a conscientious objector. I'm telling you, if we don't get ahead of this now, this second, this moment, and warn these dictators that there are people that simply will not comply, we're in deep trouble. We already are in deep trouble.
We already are in deep trouble. I have to say that. But, you know, I want to say, too, that at citizensforfreespeech.org, which is our nonprofit organization to support and defend the First Amendment, it's important to understand that especially with a vaccine that has not been tested, it's a completely untested vaccine, that means it's an experimental drug. And with experimental drugs, every person that would receive such a thing is entitled to informed consent. That means you must consent, and knowing all the potential side effects, etc., to taking the drug before it's administered to you. This has been established as...
Yeah, but if they cared about our rights, we wouldn't be in this pickle.
Well, that's right. So here's the problem.
Yeah.
The other side of informed consent, all of the scientists that are saying, hey, wait a minute, let's talk about this a little bit. All the scientists who are raising caution, doctors who are raising cautions over this entire thing.
Censored.
They're being censored.
Yeah. Patrick, can you stay with us? We got to take a quick break. And this is just so important. I was going to talk more on my own, but I really, can you stay with us for at least some of the next segment, the last segment?
I'll hang on. Sure.
Wonderful. Thank you, Patrick. We got to take a quick break. We are with Patrick Wood. Always a pleasure to talk to Patrick. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay with us. Lots more when we come back.
All right. Forgive me about that. I'll pull that out. Yeah.
Pull what out?
Oh, what? The little noise you heard from me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your mic was on, I think.
Yeah, forgive me.
Can you give me a 5-minute warning, and then I'll let Patrick go because I have
got an opinion.
Well,
a guest
I just want a little bit of extra time to wrap up.
Sure, I'll give you a 5-minute warning.
Yeah, give me 5 minutes.
All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. Love doing Spouting Off. And don't forget to tune in Tuesdays, Thursdays, the New Hampshire edition, 1 p.m. Eastern. Do I have that right? Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern and Fridays, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm still getting used to a different time zone around here. We have been talking to Patrick Wood, and he's graciously agreed to stay with us because we're talking about vaccines. My show was taken off YouTube simply for disagreeing about the vaccine, that there is actually other opinions other than the one they want you to have. And Patrick was in the process of telling us that doctors who have serious concerns about this untested experimental drug that should ordinarily require informed consent, to say nothing of the Christians who believe that it's the mark of the beast. Maybe we'll get into that. I don't know if you're a Christian, Patrick, but talk, and you can tell us about that as well. Talk about the censorship. That, to me, without even knowing anything else about the vaccine, if they are censoring any disagreement or dissent, I'm already suspicious. What about you?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's the truth. And all of these things are being censored like crazy. All of the alternative information that's out there that should be part of the informed consent model is not available to people. So you cannot say, nobody can say that they have taken the shot with informed consent. That requires all of the information, not just half of it. So right there, they're off base. Secondly, even right now, most of the shots that are being given are not accompanied by handing to the patient the insert in the package that the vaccine comes from, which indeed does have some warnings and does have some concerns and stuff, but they're not giving it.
Have you read it? Have you seen it?
I have seen it. Somebody sent me a copy of one. And I said, I want to know that information.
Send it to me if
maybe
you can, would
change
you?
Your mind, but I'd want it.
Oh, heck yeah. And isn't it interesting? You know, every commercial that we see about new drugs on the market, there's like a list a mile long about all the things that could happen to you. But, oh, no, just take the vaccine. Do what your government tells you. If you have that, send it to me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. I'd love to see it.
Good. I'll try and dig it up and give it to you.
Good. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other thing that kind of goes along with this is that experimental drugs like this are supposed to be given by a physician. Hmm. You can take that where you want. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country right now that is able to hold a syringe in their hand is giving the shot. They are not physicians. A lot of times they're just people who happen to be working in a pharmacy or something. Hey, I can do that. And there's something dreadfully wrong with this as well, because
something dreadfully wrong all the way around.
That's right. The potential reactions are just horrendous for some people.
Yeah. Patrick, let's speculate a little bit. We won't go down the road of the Mark of the Beast because, I don't know, it's not in my book, but it is in the Christian book. And, of course, they already want to discriminate against Christians because, after all, you're some sort of Neanderthal. If you want face naked and you don't want a Mark of the Beast and be told by your government that you can't shop unless you take a needle and an experimental drug. Gee, I wonder what could possibly go wrong with all of that. But let's speculate for a minute. I mean, it's so sci-fi. It is so bizarre to think that Bill Gates, who we thought was just a nerd, now all of a sudden we're finding out he's behind a lot of these kinds of things, him and a whole bunch of other people. Let's speculate about what could possibly be the motive for sticking people with needles, people all over the world. What could possibly be what their goal is and their end run is? I mean, people usually, they run rampant with speculation. They fill in the blanks when we don't know. But it couldn't be good. What do you think?
Wow. You know, I listened to a TED Talk recently that was given by the former head scientist at Moderna. This was only a couple of years ago, and this guy apparently just left Moderna for other opportunities. But he was the top scientist at Moderna who developed most of the messenger RNA vaccine products and other gene therapy products for Moderna. And he said, and I quote, "We are actually hacking the software of life."
Oh my God.
What he said in this TED Talk. You just have to stop and think about it. He said, we're rewriting the genetic code. And he called it information therapy.
Yeah, now, and they get to be in control of the genetic code. They think they're God. Remember Frankenstein? Remember the movie Frankenstein where they said that they were fiddling with God? No wonder they don't like Christians and Jews. No wonder they don't like anybody who, you know, like Hebrew national answers to a higher authority than them. What do you suppose they want to do to our software? Make us more obedient than we already are?
The transhuman dream for some decades has been to invent humanity 2.0.
Oh, my God.
They think that they know enough about the genetic structure of life now that they can literally hijack the evolutionary process and take over the development of mankind. Now, I'm not agreeing with, I'm not saying I believe in evolution, but I'm just saying that's what they believe, okay? They think they can hijack this process and that they can start making genetic edits directly and thereby recreate humanity in their own image.
And there will be worker bees and there will be royalty because that's what socialist communists always do. There are people who serve others. I don't know. I mean, you could go Silent Soylent Green, or you can go a whole lot of different ways with that. I didn't even see the notice that I have to wrap this up. Doggone. Patrick, you are so much fun to have on. I only wish that we were talking about something less urgent, less scary, and less dangerous to not only America, but to humanity. Whenever people think they're God, it's dangerous. Sure, people who believe in God aren't perfect. God forbid, they're not perfect. Yes. But at least they hold themselves accountable. When people think they're God, they don't hold themselves accountable to anyone. And that's frightening. Tell everybody how they can find you, how they can follow you, and we'll have you on again real soon.
Absolutely. It's technocracy.news is my professional site. And you can go to citizensforfreespeech.org to visit our nonprofit organization, which is dedicated to the defense and the support of the First Amendment in America.
Wow. And I hope people are beginning to figure out and find out, if they don't already know, that the First Amendment is number one for a reason. Because you cannot take over a country, a Western world, or the world when there's freedom of expression, and people have access to alternative ideas. And that is why we're watching the kind of censorship, the brazen censorship that we are seeing. Patrick Wood, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have a couple of minutes, and I just wanted to wrap up here by telling you that I have a new studio in Texas, and I'm not going to say where. It doesn't really matter, you know, but Texas is such a small state. I'm telling you, it is a wonderful adventure, and it's such a juxtaposition, really. The joy and happiness that my husband and I feel, and our dogs, with a new yard and a new home and a new bunch of opportunities. This is what America is supposed to be about: liberty, individual freedom, and the opportunity to make your life what you want it to be, hopefully under God, not under man. And yet, we are living under a cloud right now with a frightening and false regime. It is telling us what we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do it, and whether or not we're allowed to like or dislike things based on their opinion. This is the antithesis of talk radio. If I can leave you with anything, it would be my request to follow the blueprint of the left. If there are things that you know are law-abiding that aren't against your conscience, and they tell you not to do them, do them. If you want to speak your truth, speak it. Because if you self-censor, it'll only get worse from here. There's a whole lot more to talk about. I encourage you to visit me at KarenCataline.com. Thank you to everyone who makes the show possible. And thank you to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for more Spouting Off, because, oh my, there's a lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.